This past week, I reflected for a little while on my three relationships to youth, the first of which is that I was one once upon a time. After some greetings and cards that I've received this past week, I'm beginning to think that that is a matter of record, that my youth is long gone. Anyway, I got to thinking about my own teenage experience and in reflection would divide it, I suppose, into a couple of parts. The first of which was a time in my teenage years when I had very little spiritual interest. And although coming from a Christian home, I really was quite in reaction to it. I had little time for God, had no regard, really, for what the Word of God had to say, and little interest in spiritual things. But during that time, I was involved in a church that was willing to carry me for that period of time, was willing to provide activities that I was interested in going to, and had youth workers who had enough interest in me that they were willing to wait out that time in my life until I was ready for some change spiritually. And that time came in high school, a significant transformation spiritually, when I became greatly concerned about my commitment to Jesus Christ and my involvement in the things of the Lord. And then also, I was grateful for a youth ministry where opportunities were provided. Opportunities to grow spiritually, opportunities to be impacted by godly men and women, opportunities to learn how to pray and to study Scripture and to minister and become involved in the lives of other people. My second relationship to youth was that I worked with them. Just a couple of years beyond my own teenage time, I became a youth pastor. I went to the all-night parties. I did the planning and the programming and was involved in the praying and all of the things in the hope of shaping lives. And it was a great experience. Those years were, I suppose, relatively few but significant, where friendships were built that have lasted until now. Until frequently, I receive letters or telephone calls from people now quite into their adult years who let me know when there's been some great victory or call me for counsel when there's some crisis in their lives. And I suppose that I would trade very little for those years of serving as a youth pastor when I saw that the church dramatically impacted teenage lives for their benefit and for God's glory. And now a third relationship to youth, and that I'm a parent. Joel Johnson graciously said this past week that I should share tonight. I suggested that Brian Doten or Joel Johnson, they ought to speak tonight. I mean, it's a program about young people, and there are youth pastors. And Joel said to me, I think that you ought to say something so that we can have a parent's perspective on all of this. And I felt old enough this past week without that additional help from one of my colleagues. But I must admit that I now see youth ministry quite differently than the way I saw it either as a teenager or as a youth pastor. For one thing, I have discovered that I know far less now than I did either of those previous times. And I find that now I'm a little more scared, that I'm concerned that I need help to be an effective parent, that I need prayer for my children. I'm concerned about what's best for them. And while I fully realize that the majority of the responsibility is mine as a parent at home, and I know that I dare not expect the schools or the churches or other people to shape our children's lives the way we as parents must shape them, I also am deeply grateful for the help of others who care, who do, who help, who provide the aid and the atmosphere so that my children, now in adolescence, can have their lives shaped to be like Jesus Christ. All of which focuses on the dedication of Wooddale Church to youth. We say that we are dedicated to youth, but for whose sake? We are dedicated to youth for the youth. We know that adolescence is a tremendous transition time. I read over again this afternoon many of the statistics which were shared and related to in the film media presentation that we saw earlier this evening, and that was only a small bit. Studies are showing increasingly that young people's lives at a younger and younger age are set in their direction And that is pretty much the direction then for much of the rest of life. And so it's a time when young people change. They change and they're in transition, physically and emotionally, spiritually, socially. And Wooddale Church is dedicated to a youth ministry which shapes teens in right ways during those malleable years, those transition times. It sure was a long time ago when the words of Ecclesiastes 12:1 were written, but they certainly are relevant for today, saying, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come." So that the time of life called youth is the time for the shaping of the rest of life. So as a church, we are dedicated to influence young people during their teenage years in ways of righteousness. Righteousness in things like grades and drugs and sex and relationships and parents and friendships and life decisions. We are dedicated as a church to provide youth workers who care, who don't do something simply for the doing of it, but love and like the teenagers with whom they work. We're dedicated as a church to give opportunities for those who want to soar spiritually. And there's some people who do, who during their teenage years really mean business with God, who want to grow spiritually and take advantage of that time of life, want to learn the Scripture, want to memorize it, understand its theological concepts, learn how to share their faith, learn about missions and all of the things that can be learned about so that life can be given to Jesus Christ. And we as a church are dedicated to give those opportunities, whether it's across the border in Canada or across at least part of the sea in Haiti, whether it's in downtown Minneapolis or touring with Acts 29 across the United States. We are dedicated to giving those opportunities. But we are also dedicated to hang in there with teenagers who couldn't care less. We're dedicated to persist with young people who are going through a time of rebellion and spiritual disinterest, who are having trouble putting life together and have not yet concluded that God is to be a priority for them. We are dedicated to persevere with them and for them and with parents and for parents so that when the time comes, maybe for some at 14 or others for 16 or others at 18 or some beyond their teenage years, that when that time comes, we will have waited and we will have prayed and we will give to God the credit no matter how long it takes to shape a life to be like Jesus Christ. For the youth. And for the church. Adolescence is also a ministering time when young people can make a significant contribution to the life of the church. Young people have always made a significant contribution to the people of God. It was an adolescent, a youth named David, who in 1 Samuel 17 stood up against the Philistine Goliath when nobody else was willing to do it and saved the kingdom of Israel. And it was a youth named Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, who received the revelation from God and became the great prophet of a whole generation. And it was a youth named Mark who followed Jesus from afar, according to Mark 14:51, but later on closed in and became the author of our second gospel. And it was a youth, 12 years old, named Jesus from Nazareth, who taught the doctors, the theologians in the temple in Jerusalem. It is youth who are the church of today. You know, sometimes I hear the expression that our young people are the church of tomorrow, and I don't buy that. For our young people indeed are the church for now, who have a significant ministry, not only here tonight, but a ministry of encouragement, and a ministry of hope, and a ministry of faith, that sometimes older generations simply begin to forget. I thought that was well illustrated in an experience that we had the night before last. Our family went to the Jefferson Edina game. It was the Edina homecoming game. Just slips me right now who won. It was 17-0. I guess it was actually Jefferson that shellacked Edina in its own homecoming game. And there was a little boy who stood there by the gate as the Edina team came off the field, slightly dejected, at least from my perspective and evaluation. And this little lad stood there and hit on the back every player that he could reach. And as they went by, he could pat about every third or fourth one. Said, "Don't worry, you'll win next time." Well, I thought to myself, that is so typical of the way younger people see a perspective on things. It's the encouragement, it's the faith, it's the hope. It's the ministry to this and every other church that teenagers and other youth can give. That sometimes those of us in adult years, when we have too many times faced the realities of life and its discouragement, have forgotten. And so the dedication to youth is not just for the youth. It is also for the church. And it is also for the parents. Adolescence for our children is both a time of delight and concern. It's a delight, an absolute delight, to see our children growing tall and strong and maturing in life. It's quite a different experience and a marvelous one, I find, to relate to our own children as grown-ups rather than as little children, to have conversations with them more as peers than as parent and child. And while that delight is there, there is equally a concern and sometimes a deep concern for their welfare. Whereas parents, we are concerned about the temptations they face and the decisions that they make, somehow hoping that all that we have learned in life will become for them a stepping stone, that they can go on from where we have left them, and fearful that they might begin where we began or some other place, praying that they be protected from a disastrous decision or action in life which may destroy all of their years to come, a time of delight and a time of concern. I think our prayer as parents is like that of King David in Psalm 144:12, really quite a verse. He prayed, "May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace." We at Wooddale Church are dedicated to join hands with parents in making sons and daughters who are pleasing to God. We at Wooddale Church are dedicated not to do it as a church alone. Our strategy is not to hire the biggest staff or have the most high-powered program. Our strategy and our dedication is to provide the aid and the atmosphere which will complement the ministry of parents in their homes and involve parents in the ministry of youth in the church. We're dedicated as a church to the parents of youth, to equip them for parenting, to strengthen their marriages and their homes, to provide for them the nurture and the instruction so that they can provide for their children the nurture and the instruction that comes from God. Our dedication is for the youth and for the church and for the parents, but most of all, it's for the Lord. Like the fathers of Ephesians 6:4, we must bring up our youth in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You see, more than anything else, we are dedicated to serve our young people because we are dedicated to serve our God, to teach our young people to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts, to obey the Scripture, and to practically walk in righteousness. And it is God Himself who holds us accountable for their lives. I think, as I try to put it all in perspective, as a parent, as a pastor, as a person, my grandest desire for Wooddale Church is not that we be big or fancy or famous, but that we produce young men and young women who more than anything else live for Jesus Christ. I'd like us to stand to pray, but to do it in a little bit different way that I know is going to take a moment or two of commotion, and that's fine, and you're welcome to talk and move around. But I'd like us to pray specifically tonight for our teenagers and families, but I would like, if we could move around enough, to join together parents and teenagers. Now, that means that most of the young people are down here, and some of you may, if you have trouble finding the right parent, if worse comes to worse, take another. But let's move around, and let's try to gather together, teenagers with families, and Sharon holding hands together for a dedicatory prayer. Let's do that. Can we move and find each other and all? Maybe so that they are not embarrassed in the process, if you're too young or too old to have a teenager, you just talk to somebody next to you for just a minute, and you greet them and say hello, and then we'll join together in prayer. Lord, may it not just be words that we hear speak tonight, but may it genuinely be the commitment of our hearts to these young people and to others, some of whom are so young that they're in the nursery downstairs. But someday we'll stand on this platform. Someday also we'll share in these youth ministries and go to Canada or Haiti and have opportunities to make decisions for Jesus Christ. But for now, Lord, for these parents, we pray your blessing. Give to them your skills in parenting. Enable them to know when to be happy and when to be sad, which things are important and which things are so unimportant that they need to be let slide. Give, Lord, to these parents a loyalty to Jesus Christ that can be seen by their children. In fact, Father, may their children far more see Jesus Christ in them than any accuracy of decisions that they make. And may they grow up to understand that mom and dad love God more than anyone or anything else, and that is the highest priority of life. Lord, for parents who here tonight have heavy hearts for children here and children not here, give to them a confidence in you that you are the God who cares for their children even more than they themselves care. Lord, give encouragement where encouragement is needed, and give depth of gratitude where that is what is required. And then, Lord, especially for the teenagers of Wooddale Church, I pray again your greatest blessing. May they be an example to their parents and to the rest of this church. May they have a ministry here of hope and faith. May they, when they face the inevitable temptations of life, be reminded of the precepts of Scripture and be witnessed to by the internal dwelling of your Holy Spirit. And may they choose repeatedly in the forks of life's road all of the right paths and right ways. May they be faithful to you. And I pray especially that you will protect them. Protect them from the dangers that inevitably lurk and the wrong ways that inevitably are offered. May they live in righteousness and live for Jesus Christ, so that in years to come they too may be parents who can raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lord, make families strong, make parents strong, make teenagers strong, make the Church of Jesus Christ strong. Lord, do it all for the youth, for the church, for the parents, but most of all, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. God bless you.